Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Getting off to a little bit of a late start on the Midnight Movie Reviews. Every Friday night at midnight, we do indeed do the Midnight Movie Reviews with Eric Childress and Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com. Special weekend. It is the first ever Chicago Film Critics Film Festival, and it's happening this whole weekend. We just had three guests on that are showing a movie called Sparks. We had the director and Jake Busey and William Catt here live in studio. Had a blast with those guys. And so, the actual festival started tonight, and it continues through Sunday with a visit from the great William Friedkin, who's actually going to be on the show tomorrow. And we're very excited about that. So because the 10 o'clock screening got off to a late start, Colin and Eric weren't able to join us until 12:30, so we have to make it official right now. It is time for the Midnight Movie Reviews. We are live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. The phone number is 312-981-7200 if you have a question or a comment or a movie review. And we're going to give away some tickets to go see Sparks, the movie we were just talking about. In fact, we got to post that picture of all of us with of me and Roger with the crew of Chris and William Catt and Jake Busey. We'll put that up on our Facebook page. You can check that out, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So let's welcome these guys fresh from the Chicago Film Critic Award or Film Critic Film Festival. Here's Colin. Hi, Colin.
Hello.
And Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
All right, guys. So tell me, how did it go this evening?
It was a lovely evening.
Yeah, great, huh?
Yeah. Colin, you give me a little bit of what you think, because you got to film it from a distance sometimes. So, what did you think?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I this is a pretty impressive festival, especially for a first year festival. What the lineup that we got, the guests we have coming in, and tonight, I thought it just went splendidly well. We had Sarah Polley coming in, and she was just a wonderful, wonderful, she helped us, kick off this festival in a really charming, wonderful way. You know, she was really complimentary to us, and she's just flattered to be there. The movie is great. The audience was really into it. And then we had a second feature with an equally charming, Emily Higgins, whose film, Grow Up Tony Phillips. It's her fourth film. This is the girls, people who don't know, if you've ever seen a documentary called Zombie Girl, she was the subject of that movie. This is just, a great way to kick off a festival that, sort of has taken on a new context over the past week. It is now officially dedicated to Roger Ebert, and I think Roger would be really proud. I really do.
Yeah. Eric, what about you? How do you feel about how it went tonight?
Well, if you remember in the movie L.A. Story, there's a moment where Steve Martin talks about his date with Victoria Tennant, and he just simply says, the only thing that could come to my mind was wonderful, 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 and most of all, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you describe Sarah Polley.
Yeah.
You know, I am kind of kicking myself that I didn't spend more time with her tonight. But if there was ever, she was pretty much the first person to sign on to this festival. Now, and no one had to, embrace this thing at all. Studios didn't have to embrace it. Publicists didn't have to embrace it. And many of them did. But Sarah Polley was the first one to sign on. We made her film the opening night film. We could not have thought of a better choice. We're talking about Stories We Tell, her new documentary, and she just, that is how Q&As are supposed to be done. And I'm not just saying that because I was a part of it, but really interesting questions, met with even more interesting answers. And she was very gracious. She hung out with fans. She was signing Dawn of the Dead stuff. We were holding court in like the aisles of Movie Co. just riffing on the movie posters that was there. I mean, it was just, she could not have been a more just charming and just wonderful guest. And her compliments towards the festival, publicly, after the Q&A, and then privately to some of us, it really kind of floors me. I'm not going to joke. I'm a little bit in love.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And we all know how we feel about her movies.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen this one yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, Nick.
I know. Did anybody bring any existence stuff?
No.
Oh.
No. There were some Dawn of the Dead signings. I'm sorry. She's in that movie like 3 minutes.
I know, but she's in it.
Okay.
That's great, man. Congratulations on the opening night. And tomorrow, let's talk a little bit about some of the movies that people can see tomorrow, Eric. Had a blast.
Yeah, how was the thing tonight? Yeah.
Had a blast with Jake Busey and William Catt and Chris Foligno. Had an absolute blast.
Wonderful.
Told great stories. Craig, you know, we were talking, and Jake and William Catt, you know, they go back a ways, and William Catt was in Big Wednesday with his dad. And,
that's right.
And they also, apparently they met on the set of an old episode of Kung Fu.
No kidding.
Where they both beat the hell out of Chief Dan George. And it was like some of their first gigs. And they told this great, Jake told this great story that Gary, his dad, tells him all the time about how David Carradine dropped acid before the shoot.
No.
So William Catt and Gary Busey and David Carradine were on acid. During the scene.
Oh, my God.
So Craig found the scene, and we played the audio of it.
It's actually filmed?
Yeah, no, it's in an episode of Kung Fu.
Wow.
It's actually in an episode of Kung Fu. The actual scene, the fight scene that they do, they were tripping.
That's fantastic.
And so we found the audio, we played it, and I thought Jake was going to lose his mind. He was in here just losing it. So it turned out great, and I think Sparks is going to be a lot of fun. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday at 2:30. We were talking about that one. What are some of the other ones? Colin, let's start with some of the shorts that you guys are going to have at the festival tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're showing a movie called The Treehouse, which was one of the runners-up for an award at the Chicago Film Critics Association Awards when we did an Emerging Filmmaker Award show that was sort of a pre-show the night before. Really, really terrific film. An animated movie called Cicada Princess, and you've never seen an animated movie look quite like this. It's going to be, like, I can't wait to see this thing on the big screen. Documentary called Flutter. That's really terrific, about a guy who collects dead butterflies. And then we get a little morbid. We get into a movie about called The Cub. the less I say about that one, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Necronomica is another one, which is one of my all-time favorite short films now, but these two death metal rockers having sort of a crisis of friendship and everything. And then we finish with Air Conditions, which
awesome.
Is Ryan Oliver's awesome horror movie. So we go from innocent to morbid and full of dread.
All right.
It's going to be it's a wonderful, wonderful set.
Now, many of the filmmakers going to be there?
Yeah, we got actors from The Treehouse, but not the filmmaker. We got the cinematographer for Cicada Princess, and so that's going to be cool. And then Ryan Oliver will be there for Air Conditions. And that's, as far as I know, that's all who's coming.
Okay. All right, Eric, tell us.
Shorts, but that's still good.
All right, Colin was in charge of putting the shorts together. Tell us a little bit about what else is happening tomorrow, Eric. I mean, besides Sparks.
Yeah, besides Sparks, we are showing an encore presentation of Grow Up, Tony Phillips, Emily Hagen's film. So if you weren't out for tonight, come that. It is up against the shorts program. So, you know, I don't want to go up against Colin, but, you know.
All right.
It's all worthy. We have a really funny film that I saw at Sundance I talked about called The Kings of Summer,
mm-hmm.
With the great Nick Offerman. That's playing at 6 o'clock tomorrow. If you're a horror fan, and especially if you like Air Conditions, you have a choice tomorrow night. At 10 o'clock, we're playing Black Rock, which is the latest film from Katie Azleton. It was written by Mark Duplass about three women who take a vacation that goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, I've been hearing about this one for a while.
Yeah, it's been out there. Played Sundance last year, I believe. And if you do, you could stay for that one. Or at 11 o'clock this week, we got All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
Oh, boy.
Sort of the lost films, you know, from Jonathan Levine, who's all gone on to do 50-50 and Warm Bodies. So that's the 11 o'clock film. And the lineup tomorrow is so strong. I mean, there's a wonderful movie at 4:30 called Leave Me Like You Found Me. And the director, Adele Romansky, is going to be there. Sort of a lower budget sort of version of kind of like Before Midnight, but with a divorced couple trying to put their love, their romance back together by taking a trip in the woods. It's a wonderful movie. It has one of the best final lines in movies that I've heard in some time. The Institute is a really solid documentary about a real life reality game experiment that went on. And 9 o'clock, if you want to see the Slam Dance Award winner, a film called The Dirties, which starts off as a really hilarious comedy about filmmakers in high school that ends up turning really, really dark and becomes a real interesting statement about bullying and school violence.
All right. Well, there you go. And if people want to check out the website, ChicagoFilmCriticsFestival.com.
ChicagoCriticsFestival.com.
Okay. And we have a link on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. It's easiest to do it that way.
Right.
It's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. The first ever Chicago Critics Film Festival dedicated to Roger Ebert, obviously. Okay. We don't have the access to the list of all the on-demand movies for this week. So we're going to skip that. But what films are we to be talking about tonight? We've got 42.
Colin has seen that.
Okay. The Company You Keep.
We've both seen that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Disconnect.
Both of us.
Yep.
Scary Movie 5.
Nope.
Oh, I guess we're not going to have a review of Scary Movie 5 this week because I didn't have a chance to see it.
Nope.
Trance.
Seen it.
Did not see it.
Okay. Eric, you're going to have to handle that one on your own.
Okay.
And let's see. What else do we got here? I think that's everything.
That's enough.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's everything. All right, let's just do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and start reviewing these things. And if you would like to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Eric and Colin from efilmcritic.com for our weekly midnight movie reviews. And again, check out some of the great stuff that's happening this whole weekend at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont at the Chicago Critics Film Festival. And again, we didn't even mention Sunday night, there's a special screening, a 35mm screening of Sorcerer, and William Friedkin will be there. He will also be signing his book, and he's going to be on our show tomorrow night as well. So it's Nick DiGilio here on WGM. We'll get back to the Midnight Movie Reviews coming up. And again, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Eric Childress, Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com join me every Friday night to review the movies. We got a little bit of a late start because of the Chicago Film Critics Film Festival, the Chicago Critics Film Festival, which is happening right now this weekend at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. And we welcome Colin and Eric back to the show. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Did you guys hear that Jonathan Winters passed away?
Yeah. Oh, God. No, I did not.
No, I just saw it on IMDb.
Oh.
87 years old. Man,
that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. 87, that's a pretty full life, you know what I mean?
But that's a good life.
But still, man.
Yep.
Boy, Jonathan Winters, anyway. Didn't know. We're past the three now. I think this starts a whole new set, right? Doesn't it?
And Maria Tallchief also passed away.
Oh, she did. All right, so we're at two now. Man. Wow. All right. Look, Eric, you're the only one that saw Trance. Tell us about Trance.
All right. Trance is the latest film from Danny Boyle, and it's a very, very odd kind of heist movie. James McAvoy plays a museum curator who is very, you know, very much in, you know, at the beginning of the movie is telling us everything about how to avoid being robbed and what to do in case of a robbery. And then a robbery occurs at his museum, led by a group of people, led by Vincent Cassell, the great Vincent Cassell. And he basically, James McAvoy's character basically does everything he just told us you shouldn't do. And he gets knocked for a loop and ends up with a case of amnesia. And but the trick is that he managed to hide the one thing that Vincent Cassell's people came to steal. So in order to find this painting, this missing painting, Vincent Cassell's crew takes James McAvoy to a hypnotherapist played by Rosario Dawson in the hopes that she can jog his memory and essentially figure out where he left this painting. And that's really about all I can tell you. This film is full of twists and turns. It turns into a really odd sort of romance film. It's a mystery. It's a thriller. There's all kinds of twists and turns. It's one of these films that, seriously, when you're watching it, you can see, like, you can, like, pinpoint, like, okay, this movie starts off like this, and then it becomes like this, and then it becomes like this. You know, and like everything from, like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind to, like, Videodrome. Okay, this movie is very odd in its execution, but that's what kind of what makes it kind of great.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is, I mean, Danny Boyle is, you know, he's clearly having a blast, and, you know, few people can sort of map that sort of that real hyperkinetic style and not make it seem annoying. You know, the way he sort of conducts everything and everything just starts moving quicker and faster, and you're not exactly sure where reality is or where it's not, what's in the guy's mind, what's not. And yet the movie plays itself very straightforward and stuff. It's not, you know, really taking you on a place that you really start to question everything. The idea is it's very dumb in many ways, but Danny Boyle and does so many great things with it. Everyone's having a blast. McAvoy's really good in it. Rosario Dawson hasn't been as good. This is one of the best things I think she's done, actually. And Cassell is always watchable. I highly recommend Trance. I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay, crazy movie. And it's only playing at like 5 theaters in Chicago. It's at the Landmark. It's at River East. Let me see where else. It's at Landmark, River East. It's in at the Icon Theater. It's at the Village Crossing and in Evanston. So there you go. And that's Trance. I thought the movie looked pretty crazy. And
it is like
Danny Boyle sort of like train spotting crazy, like that kind of.
Yeah, well, that style is very unmistakable, and the way he sort of uses that sort of the pulsating soundtrack,
yeah,
and whatnot. But the finale of the thing is just crazy. And that's just sort of the finale of the craziness that really sort of begins to happen in the second act of the film.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, as you guys know, I happen to absolutely love Trainspotting, one of my favorites. And if Danny Boyle goes back to that kind of thing, which, by the way, evidently he's doing the sequel to Trainspotting.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
curious about that.
Called Porno. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. All right, you guys, hang on a second. We got the news coming up, and then we're going to review all the other movies. And if you have a question or a comment or a review of your own, hey, if you saw Scary Movie 5, because none of us did. If you went out to see Scary Movie 5, I didn't have time to see it today. So the phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 if you saw Scary Movie 5 or you want to comment on any other movies. Movie reviews are coming up next after the news. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Got a little late start to the midnight movie reviews because the program over at the Chicago Film Critics Film Festival went a little bit late, so we didn't get going on the movies till 12:30. But we are doing them. Colin Suter, Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com. If you saw Scary Movie 5, give us a call because none of us had a chance to see that today. So if you want to call us and give us a review of it, that's cool. 312-981-7200. Colin and Eric are back. Hi, guys.
Hello.
All right. Colin, tell us about 42.
Okay, 42 is, it's basically the Jackie Robinson story. Jackie Robinson, of course, being the first black baseball player to basically play in the majors. And it's basically just his story. Sorry, I'm out of breath right now. I just ran into my apartment. it's been a long night. Sorry.
Yeah, I bet.
So Harrison Ford plays the guy who recruits him and, you know, sees him through, you know, from the minors to the majors. And, of course, you know, the story is, you know, that nobody, you know, not nobody, but most, you know, couldn't accept the idea of, you know, an African-American, you know, in any sort of, you know, prominent role in not just sports, but anything, really. And this is about how he, you know, overcomes that and just sort of ignores it because it's a means to an end to, you know, make some money and, you know, live, you know, a good life with his wife. And, you know, of course, he becomes, you know, the figure of hope for all African Americans. And that's pretty much the movie. That is pretty much the story. And the movie doesn't quite have a lot more to say about that, except isn't this great what he did? And of course it's great. And of course it makes for a good, it's a story that makes for a great movie. It should. Unfortunately, there's not much more to the story than what's put in front of you in terms of the historical significance. There's not much drama that goes on in Jackie Robinson's life, you know, to make it even an even more compelling film. Sounds like I'm criticizing Jackie Robinson's life. I'm not. I'm just saying that there's, you know, the drama that is, you know, inherent in, of course, you know, what makes his story so important is there, but there's not much else there. It's one of these kind of simplistic, very, you know, saccharine and at times very schmaltzy movies that, you know, where every other scene, the music swells, you know, about, you know, how his struggle is, you know, how meaningful, not his struggle, but how meaningful his story is. And obviously it is. It's just the movie itself is kind of empty. The Harrison Ford's performance is at times very silly and over the top, and I thought he was channeling Richard Nixon in a few scenes. it's a perfectly, you know, like I said, saccharine kind of movie. It's, you know, there's nothing inherently offensive in it or anything like that. It's a, you know, it's almost, you know, it's a good family film, I guess. But there's not much in there to recommend. A couple of good baseball sequences, I will say that. There's some baseball moments in this movie that are really nicely done. But it's just too simplistic and too corny at times to recommend. And so, yeah, can't recommend it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. It's I guess you just want to say it's your standard, you know,
your standard biopic.
Yeah, I mean, there's
it goes from A to B to C.
Yeah, there's nothing really new going on here. I don't know. When was the last time Brian Helgen made a good movie? Hasn't it?
Well, he's written he wrote L.A. Confidential,
right?
Payback.
He directed Payback, but that was
Payback,
like,
right.
That was like 13 years ago or something, right?
Yeah.
And I love Payback. I think Payback's a terrific movie.
I enjoy it, too.
Then he did A Knight's Tale and The Order. Yeah. I mean, you know, the bad side of Heath Ledger's career can be directly drawn to Brian Hagelin.
Yeah. I'm looking at his – I just looked up his titles. The Order, oof. A Knight's Tale and Payback. Those are the only other ones that he's done. So I guess he's only made the one good movie. I guess I was just thinking of his writing. You know what I mean? I guess I was thinking he had directed more movies than he actually did. But,
he wrote Conspiracy Theory, too, did he not?
Yes, he did write Conspiracy Theory, which I actually like. I like that movie.
It's okay.
You know, you got to look up sometime on the AV Club is the, you know how they have the commentary tracks of The Damned?
Yeah.
that article. They do one for The Order recently, and it's hilarious. I mean, I didn't hear the audio commentary, but I always read the articles about the commentary.
Yeah.
And apparently he's a very he talks as if he's giving people out there some help who might be writing their thesis paper on Brian Hegeland films.
Oh, you know, God.
That kind of thing. It's pretty funny.
All right. I just found this to be Colin, I thought Harrison Ford's performance was pretty ridiculous. I have no proof as to whether whether or not Branch Rickey sounded like that or acted like that. I don't know. I'm sure he did.
It's just kind of a mistake now. I mean, it's officially just wrong for Harrison Ford to try to be anybody except Harrison Ford in a movie.
Yeah.
It never comes out right.
Yeah. And no, and it doesn't come out right in this either. I think the guy, the lead who plays Jackie Robinson,
he's
actually quite good. I think he's very good in it, but there's not a whole lot more going on in this. You're absolutely right. It's standard A to B to C biopic, and I don't know. I saw this is not based on the play, but there was a play called 42, which was about Jackie Robinson, and the play was much better than this movie.
Yeah.
Much more inspiring and better, and they found a lot more to it. This just kind of strips it down and... Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot going on here. I was not moved. There were some nice moments in it. Some of the acting is okay. Like, the lead is very good. And you mentioned the baseball scenes. There are good baseball scenes in this movie. Eric, you'll like some of the baseball scenes for sure.
Well, that's nice. I like the baseball scenes in For Love of the Game, too, but I hate that movie.
I thought the baseball scenes in that movie were awesome.
Really good.
Very disappointing movie. I was really hoping for more. By the way, I'm looking at the ad for Scary Movie 5.
Why?
Because I'm a little thrown by this.
Okay.
It says laugh out loud funny, a great film that will leave you laughing the entire way through. All right, that's the quote.
Oh, that's in the ads. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. There's
an asterisk next to it, but I really I can't see who.
It's all the way at the bottom. Hold on.
Oh, Cleaver. Deirdre.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Deirdre Escher?
I think that's right. That sounds close.
But here's the thing that's funny is that it's like this big, giant quote on the top of the ad.
Yep.
But it's not attributed to anybody. You have to look all the way down at the bottom. And the font of the critic's name is so small that nobody without 20/20 vision can't see it.
That's right. It's not the first time I've seen an ad like that.
That is hilarious.
Or obviously ever. But it's attributed to Deirdre Behar.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if there's any relation to Joy. But from clever.com, and that's clever with two V's. So obviously not that clever.
I don't know. I just find that really funny. It's like, who said that about the movie? I don't know. I can't find the name. I can't.
Right.
The critic's name is so small, I can't see it.
Yeah, they made it up.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, this is Jim in Batavia on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. I'll try and make it really quick. I'm just a big baseball history nut, so I enjoyed the movie as a whole just to see the story covered, on the big screen and everything. But I definitely agree. I mean, there were eye-rolling moments for some of the one-liners in there. The movie just kind of starts. It's just kind of like Harrison Ford goes, I want to hire a black baseball player. That's like literally one of the first lines in the movie.
Right.
And then the thing that I was really encouraged by was being there and seeing not only a packed house, which I guess I didn't expect, but gigantic groups of families and just kids, like several groups of 15 kids at a time, ages 8 to like 16.
Wow.
All there watching this. And there are way better baseball movies. There are way better race relation movies. But I guess if this is a start, for those kids who have no idea that this kind of stuff really went on.
Yeah.
And also a precursor to the depressing state that is Ken Burns baseball, where you've got entire DVDs dedicated to Olympic style racists in baseball.
Yeah.
Ty Cobb and that sort of thing. So this is kind of like a lead in, kind of like a, maybe they should just bring school class, or you know, something like that. Just
that's an interesting way of looking at it, Jim. Is that maybe kids are going to get turned on to it, and they'll find better baseball movies, and maybe get turned on to more baseball history.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is clearly, you know, AV Club had a line in their review, which I kind of agree, kind of don't disagree with, about you can't really have a true story about Jackie Robinson without an R rating. How graphic are you going to get, I guess, for a big movie? I don't know.
All right. Okay, Jim, thanks for your thoughts, man. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, take care. All right, you guys hang on. We've got... Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. A little bit late on the Midnight Movie Reviews tonight because of the Chicago Critics Film Festival that's happening this weekend. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. We welcome back Colin and Eric. All right, Eric, why don't you tell us about the company you keep?
I was afraid of that. this is the latest directorial effort from Robert Redford. It premiered at Toronto last year, or at least that's where I saw it. And it's a story. Robert Redford plays a guy that finds out one of his old colleagues, played by Susan Sarandon, has been arrested. And she was arrested because she was a member of the Weather Underground, the political terrorist movement that in the movie robs a bank that led to the death of someone at the bank. And as it turns out, that Robert Redford's character is actually also a member of the Weather Underground who was involved at that time. So now his identity has been compromised, his new identity. And part of that is thanks due to a investigative reporter played by Shia LaBeouf. So Robert Redford's character has to go on the run, on the lam, and meets up with several other people from the time when he was a political activist. It's a really terrific cast. I'm trying to remember everyone in this movie.
It's like everybody on the planet is in this movie.
Seriously, it's like Nick Nolte and like who else am I?
Chris Cooper, Terrence Howard, Stanley Tucci, Richard Jenkins, Anna Kendrick, Brendan Gleeson, Julie Christie.
Yeah.
It's Sam Elliott. Yeah. Stephen Root. Yeah. There's like 8,000 people in this movie, and they're all good.
Yeah, and they're good actors. Right. And the reason I probably forgot a lot of those actors that are in this movie is because this movie is so completely forgettable. It is so, if you heard me describe the plot of the movie, immediately, you know, you start thinking like, wow, I should watch Sneakers again, which I'd much rather do. This film is so devoid of tension. It makes Lions for Lambs look like Speed, for God's sake. the tension. It's kind of like running on empty. A lot of these kind of same ideas in a much more interesting fashion.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think Julie Christie is pretty good in the final scenes. That's really the only sort of time that I really sort of got myself involved with anything that was going on in this thing. But, all the stuff going on with Shia LaBeouf is not interesting. Not even in, like, an All the President's Men kind of way. There's so many other Robert Redford movies that you could watch and not waste your time with this one. The Redford's directorial library, I'm sorry to say, it's not the most impressive.
No.
I know a lot of people love Ordinary People. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. I was never a big fan of that. The only movie of his that I really enjoy, and I know Nick has a problem with it, is Quiz Show.
Yeah, the only one that I like is Ordinary People.
There you go.
I love Ordinary People. I
Colin, do you like one movie?
Yeah. I like Ordinary People and Quiz Show.
Okay.
Oh, okay. There you go. Right. No Milagro Greenfield War.
No.
No, that's too bad.
Well, Colin, what about you? What about you, Colin?
Yeah, I don't dislike it as much as Eric does. I think it's much better than Lions for Lambs, but it's still not very good. I mean, the thing about Robert Redford is that his movies are, you know, they're very earnest, but they're passionless. Kind of like him, you know. I think he gets off on hearing himself, you know, proselytize sometimes. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's me, Robert Redford, saying what's wrong with the world. Therefore, you should listen because I'm Robert Redford. And that's the kind of error of this movie. It's a little pompous. Yeah. But the cast, I think, makes it extremely much more watchable, you know, than it normally would be. I mean, you know, like you said, like every other scene, it's like, oh, wow, there's that actor. Oh, my God, now there's this actor. And so that, like, keeps it going, I think, a little bit. It's just that this kind of story has been done before. I feel like the statement that he's trying to make is sort of like, yeah, maybe, you know, 10 years ago that would be a potent statement, but not so much anymore.
Can I ask a question? Did anybody else find it weird that – what is Robert Redford? He's in his 70s, right?
Yeah.
How old is his daughter in this movie?
Like 11.
I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah,
he's a late bloomer.
Yeah.
You know, well, he's been on the run, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
right.
Weather underground, you know?
Yeah.
Right, and you got to put something at risk there. Something for him to fight for. Like, he has a daughter.
Yeah,
like, yeah
I found that so incredibly distracting. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, this is insane. I'm more with Colin than Eric. I think it's better than Lions for Lambs, simply because of the cast. But even I grew tired of that. It's like, oh, okay, there's another guy showing. You know what I mean?
Right.
I even
yeah.
got tired of that. I just want to say, we're running out of time, but I just want to say, because we have to do disconnect really quickly after the news. I'm looking at the user reviews on IMDb, and I scroll down. And this is my favorite. The quote is, Redford should stay in his Utah cabin and grow a beard. All right.
It really makes Sundance a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
You look like Jeremiah. He can grow a good beard. Jeremiah Johnson, he can grow a good beard.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, you guys, hang on. We got one more quick movie to talk about, which we will do after the news, which is next right here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Midnight Movie Reviews are going to be wrapping up. Again, if you saw Scary Movie 5, give us a call. We got Midnight Movie Reviews and all the regular stuff. Straight Out of Context, Drunks in the News, and all that cool stuff coming up right here on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are wrapping up the Midnight Movie Reviews right now with Eric and Colin. We got to a late start. Remember, the Chicago Critics Film Festival is happening right now. Go to chicagocriticsfilmfestival.com. You can check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow as well. Movieco.com. It's great stuff going on this weekend. Great short subjects, great films. William Friedkin is going to be there. My guests from earlier tonight, the great Jake Busey and William Catt, are going to be part of a Q&A after they screen a film called Sparks. All that is happening right now, but we want to wrap up with our final review of the evening. And it's for a movie called Disconnect. Colin,
yeah,
tell us about Disconnect.
All right. Well, this is one of those movies that tells three or four stories at once. Jason Bateman plays the father of a teenager who's sort of a loner at school, and he thinks he's starting a sort of an online relationship with somebody on Facebook, a girl on Facebook who supposedly goes to his school, but really it's a prank being played on him by a couple of bullies. And it kind of, you know, barrels out of control. Another story is about a couple who their computer gets hacked, or their accounts get hacked, and they're trying to figure out how, you know, what happened. And they hire a detective to, you know, try and figure out, you know, where the source of this is coming from, because their bank accounts have been cleaned out, you know, and there's, you know, victims of identity theft and all kinds of things that are sort of wreaking havoc on their marriage and everything. And then the third story is about a reporter who is sort of out to, you know, bust the lid open on, cyber sex websites. And her main subject is a guy who, does sort of, online, cyber sex, video chat sort of thing. And, the house, this community that he lives in where they specialize in this sort of illegal activity with a lot of underage kids. So, of course, all these stories eventually sort of come together at some, in various ways. And the main theme, of course, is technology and people's dependence on technology to basically do their communicating for them. In a variety of different ways. And the movie, I think, effectively, covers this theme pretty well. This is kind of where we're at right now with technology and our dependence on it, and it's kind of a sad thing. I think the three stories are good choices for this subject. It's going to be relatable to, anybody who does any sort of online chatting or Facebooking. This subject is inherently, in my wheelhouse is sort of, what I work with for a living, what I teach at my school. But I really do think this movie I think a lot of this movie works. I think towards the end, it gets a little predictable towards the end, definitely. And there's a stylistic choice towards the end of the movie that I thought was very jarring and kind of silly and over the top. Nevertheless, I think the performances are across the board terrific, especially Jason Bateman. I hope he does more dramatic work because I think he's as strong a dramatic actor as he is a comedic one.
It's by far the best work he's ever done. In my opinion, it's by far the best work he's ever done.
Yeah, it's really great, and I hope I hope he does both comedy and
yeah.
drama. I hope he
basically rules. There's just
yeah,
yeah.
but for this one, it's a dramatic role, but he's got the beard going.
Yeah.
So would it be easier to buy him, in a dramatic role without the beard? I know it's a silly question, but seriously, you kind of expect a sarcastic remark to come out of his mouth at some point, but not with the beard. Mm. I do recommend Disconnect. I think it's a very good film.
Okay. Eric.
Yeah, I think it works too. It really surprised me because, this is a film that could be very base. It just could be, the subject matter is rife with opportunities, but it could just come down to just very basic angles. And I think the movie works as well as it does. I think mainly because of the performances. Many of the stories I think are very strong because of the dramatic work by Jason Bateman. I think the stuff that happens with his son in the movie. And I saw this movie in Toronto last year before the Manitou stuff happened. So,
yeah.
People will look at it a little bit differently, maybe a little more sillier now, unfortunately. The only story I think that suffers a little bit is the story of the cybersex thing. I do like Max Terrio very much. I'm actually liking him a lot more on Bates Motel. People are watching
Me
that
too.
Show.
Yeah, he's good on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But I think he's good in the movie. The reporter story, Andrea Riseborough, I don't think is as strong. But I like the identity thief story. It's nice to see Jason Bateman in a good movie about identity theft this year. With Alexander Sarsgaard, who I think is very good. Is Paula Patton? Is
yep.
that his place's wife?
Yep.
Yeah, Paula Patton. And Frank Grillo, who I think is terrific.
He's awesome in this movie.
Yeah. If people don't know who this guy is, he played a trainer in Warrior, and he was one of the guys trapped in the wild in The Gray.
He was
sort of the jerky guy in The Gray, who was terrific in that. And he's really good in this too. I think the movie worked quite well, and I was affected by it by the end of it.
I gotta say, this might be my favorite movie I've seen all year so far.
Wow,
I think it's great, and again, this is right up my alley. Just the whole interwoven stories and stuff
yeah.
like that. I have a weakness for that kind of thing. And I love what this movie has to say about technology. It's not the most, you know, it's not the deepest thing in the world. You know what I mean? But I think it does it very effectively. I think all of the acting across the board is terrific. And like I said, I think it's the best work that Jason Bateman has ever done. I was with this movie from the get-go. I found all the characters to be compelling. I found the stories to be edgy, which I was really happy about. And to really, I think, take everything on, you know, all the technology that we're doing and the way that we're dealing with communication now, I think it takes it head on and does it in a way that really affected me. I was very, very affected by this movie on every level. I do want to mention that the guy who directed it directed Murderball.
Right.
This is his first. Yep. This is his first narrative. And I think he did a remarkable job with it. His name is Henry Allen Rubin. Murderball was one of my favorite films of whatever that came out, 2005, 2006.
Great.
This one, I think, may end up, I mean, there's a strong possibility that this movie may end up on my top 10 list. I know it's early.
Wow.
But I thought it was terrific. I was moved by it, and I thought everybody in it was great. I just think it's a, I think it's a pretty important film, and I think it says a lot of important things, and it does it in a very original and, I think, masterful way. So I think it's one of the best films of the year. So. All right.
There you go.
It's only playing in three theaters, though. I saw it at River East. That's where it's playing, at River East. It's also playing at Webster for some reason, and in Evanston. So, seek it out. Just seek it out. I think this is a tremendous film. Disconnect.
Yep.
All right. What do we got next week, Eric?
We got Oblivion next week. Tom Cruise. And then we got this film called To the Wonder. I don't know, some guy directed it. And also down there, someone that I like even less, Mr. Rob Zombie's got a new movie coming out.
Oh, God, they're actually going to give that a theatrical release, aren't they?
The Lords of Salem opens in Chicago next week.
God almighty. All right.
So,
well,
enjoy that, everyone.
All right, well, at least we got a Terrence Malick movie coming out then, so. So
yeah, okay.
Well, at least Colin and I have an Eric.
Yeah, you guys.
we have a territory.
Well,
All right. Well, we'll have fun. We'll have fun with that. All right, you guys. Thanks a lot. Good luck with everything this weekend. I might see you guys on Sunday. I'm going to try and get out there.
I hope so, man.
Sunday.
I got you down for a
pass. Okay. Yeah, you see, the Chicago Film Critics Film Festival is happening. By the way, William Friedkin tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You guys.
Awesome, and I will be moderating the Q&A with the Sparks guys tomorrow night.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, guys, you take care.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week. There you go. Eric and Colin on WGN.